Welcome to the Stranger Than Fiction podcast. My name is Bridget, and I'll be your host. Join me as we discuss the paranormal, the unsolved, the tragic, and the bizarre. Hi, listeners. I wanted to pop in before we started the podcast to let you know there's going to be a brief message at the very end. So if you could please stick around until then to hear that, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much, and enjoy the podcast. Warning. This podcast contains some depictions of a graphic murder and crime scene. Listener's discretion is advised. On January 15th in the year 1947, a mother named Betty Persinger and her 3-year-old daughter were taking a walk in the Los Angeles area when they stumbled upon what the woman first believed to be a mannequin. Upon further examination, she would make a much more gruesome discovery. She had found the mutilated body of a 22-year-old woman who would be later identified as Elizabeth Short. This crime would go down in history as the Black Dahlia murder, unsolved for years despite many speculations. Miss Short was an aspiring Hollywood actress who had moved from Boston, Massachusetts to Los Angeles in the 40s, working as a waitress to support herself while working on her acting career. The young woman never did catch her big break, unfortunately, for on that day in January, Elizabeth Short was found deceased. Located on the 3800 block of LA's South Norton Avenue, Detective Brian Carr of the LAPD would later describe the crime scene as pretty gruesome. He went on to state, "I just can't imagine someone doing that to another human being." Miss Short had been cut clean in half at the waist, other parts of her body mutilated. Her body had been drained of blood, though it had been scrubbed clean as there was no blood on her person or the grass beneath her. She laid as if posed, arms above her head, head tilted, legs spread, and her mouth had been slit ear to ear in a gruesome attempt to extend her smile. Marks around her wrists and ankles led investigators to believe Miss Short had been tied down and tortured for several days prior to her death. The coroner's report would come back detailing her believed cause of death to be hemorrhage and shock due to concussion of the brain and lacerations of the face, suggesting blunt force trauma was the main cause of death. It didn't take long for the murder to take off, gaining traction and popularity for many reasons. Aside from the macabre, frightening manner in which Elizabeth was found, the young woman garnered plenty of attention for how beautiful she had been. The Daily Police Bulletin, published on January 21st, described her as having black hair, green eyes, and being, quote, very attractive. Former classmate Anna Dowdery would compare Elizabeth to a porcelain china doll with beautiful eyes. She was dubbed the Black Dahlia for the movie that was out around that time, and also for a rumor that she had a particular fondness for sheer black clothes. Her murder became sensationalized despite the fact that the killer had not been caught, and the Black Dahlia became a household name. Reportedly, Elizabeth would provide occasional cleaning services for the French family, part of which was a young woman named Dorothy that she had befriended at the Aztec Theater in San Diego and subsequently lived with for roughly a month. Among those in the family, one of these was Robert Manley, a man whom Elizabeth became infatuated with, despite the fact that Manley was married and had a child on the way. Manley and Elizabeth saw each other off and on several times, and Manley would later admit that he was attracted to Elizabeth, though he swore he hadn't had relations with her. On January 8th, Manley would give Elizabeth a ride back to Hollywood at her request, attend a party with her, and fall asleep in the chair in her room. Robert Manley and the employees of the hotel they had stayed in would be the last to see Short alive. She would be missing for a total of 6 days before her body would be discovered by Mrs. Persinger and her child on their walk that morning. There were two main theories to Elizabeth Short's tragic death, one of them being that she had never met her killer before, and the other being the complete opposite, that she knew her killer rather well. FBI criminal profiler and author John Douglas was of the firm opinion that Elizabeth not only knew her killer, but that her killer was emotionally attached to her, indicative by the way Elizabeth had been laid out as if on display to the world as a show of retaliation for what he felt she had done to him. After an anonymous call from a man claiming to be Short's killer, who also claimed he was displeased with the way the story was being told, along with a package from the caller that contained some of Short's personal effects, such as her birth certificate, photos, and a phone and address book labeled Mark Hansen, police placed immediate and high priority on Hansen, a man whom Elizabeth had at one point stayed with. Later the same day, Schwartz's shoes and handbag would be discovered in a trash can not far from where her body had been dumped, and Manley would identify these items as belonging to Elizabeth Short before the LAPD had officially dropped their suspicions on him, placing more suspicion on himself. Letters would begin to flood to the LAPD, along with phone calls, all claiming to either know something or to somehow be related to the crime itself. Notably, the LAPD began receiving letters constructed from cutouts from magazines, very similar to the first letter they'd received from the potential killer. However, these letters, along with Elizabeth's aforementioned personal items, had been washed in gasoline, making the lifting of fingerprints impossible. Many suspects remained, one of them being Manley, and the other suspect of interest being Mark Hansen. Another suspect was William Hirons, who had been arrested for burglary and was questioned in the gruesome murder of 6-year-old Suzanne Dangman, who was found dismembered in a sewer system in Chicago in January of 1946. It's believed Hirons was responsible for Dangman's death, along with the deaths of two others. Hirons would be convicted and would serve 3 life sentences in the Illinois Penitentiary for Dangman's murder, to which he did confess to. Though many speculate Hirons was responsible for Elizabeth's death due to similarities and coincidences, Hirons was serving his time in jail at the time of Elizabeth's murder and could not have been the killer. To this day, it's not been made certain who took Elizabeth Short's life that day in 1947. There remains 3 prime suspects, and it's widely speculated which one of these 3 men are truly guilty. The author of The Black Dahlia Solution claims they've decoded the cryptic letters that had been sent to the LAPD, and this evidence, combined with the LAPD identifying a deceased man as a suspect in the case when it would have looked poorly on their records, led the author to believe Ed Burns, who died by his own hand on March 15, 1947, exactly 2 months after Elizabeth's murder, was the one responsible for Elizabeth's death. A note would be found that would, to most, appear to be a clear confession. The note read, "To whom it may concern, I have waited for the police to capture me for the Black Dahlia killing, but have not. I am too much of a coward to turn myself in, so this is the best way out for me. I couldn't help myself for that, or this. Sorry, Mary." Decoding this letter, the name Ed Burns can be found, despite the letter not actually being signed. Despite this letter, police did not identify Ed Burns as Elizabeth's killer, possibly wishing to evade accusations of poor policing. Another prime suspect, Leslie Dillon, would be acquitted in 1949 for the lack of concrete proof, along with the fact that he was detained illegally. He was widely believed to be Elizabeth's true killer, but due to improper police protocol, he could not be tried and convicted. Lastly, there's the theory that George Hodel was Elizabeth's murderer. Hodel was one of the original 22 suspects the LAPD had in their lineup when they first investigated Elizabeth's murder. This theory came to light when George's son, Steve, came up with strong evidence that could possibly link George to the crime. Despite this evidence, the case was not investigated any further. The case of Elizabeth Short remains unsolved to this day. Just over 70 years and no justice has been brought. And with the years going on, it looks like Miss Short's case will remain cold. A lack of evidence, paired with shoddy police work that was theorized to be a possible cover-up fabricated by the LAPD, means Elizabeth Short will go on to be remembered as the case of a beautiful woman taken from the world far too soon by an anonymous, sadistic person who had no qualms about snuffing out a bright light in the world. In the biography section of the site blackdahlia.web.unc.edu, a very well-written and detailed site by UNC student Morgan Korzik, friends and former neighbors' words about Elizabeth can be found. Notably, a former neighbor and friend named Emma Pasios said, "Her hair was very dark, black. She liked to be admired. No one had bad thoughts about her. I just liked her. Once you saw Bette Short, you couldn't forget her. Kind words for a woman who was always known for dreaming big." Hi listeners, thank you for sticking around to the end. I wanted to pop in and say thank you for your patience, and I do apologize that this podcast was coming out so late. A lot has been going on. I did post a bit of an explanation previous to this, but I swear to you, I am trying to buckle down and bring better content and bring it more frequently as well. I thank you for all of your patience, and I certainly hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I hope to see you guys next week. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.